From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Elodie Reed. It's Monday, April 24th. Here are today's headlines.
The Vermont House advanced the biggest climate bill of the session on Friday. The Affordable Heat Act aims to transition Vermonters away from fossil fuel heat and make less polluting options more accessible. That includes heat pumps, high-efficiency wood heat, and related initiatives like home weatherization. Opponents worry the bill would raise the cost of fossil heating fuels. Representative Gabrielle Stebbins of Burlington co-chairs the Climate Solutions Caucus. She says the bill acknowledges it'll take time to move away from fossil heat.
But as we make this transition, how do we keep an eye on all of the variables and all of the concerns that we have heard from Vermonters and make sure we move forward in a deliberate, methodical, thoughtful, cost-effective way?
Stebbins says the House's version of the bill strengthens protections for fuel dealers and energy-burdened Vermonters. The legislation now goes back to the Senate for review. Governor Phil Scott has said he'll veto the policy if it gets to his desk.
Also in the legislature, mental health advocates are raising concerns about legislation that would create a new facility for violent offenders who are unfit to stand trial. A bill making its way through the House would take 9 beds at the state-run psychiatric hospital in Berlin and turn them into a forensic facility. Jack McCullough with Vermont Legal Aid told lawmakers last week that there's already a shortage of mental health beds, and this proposal would only make it worse.
For the last several years, we've heard Ed, the Department of Mental Health, and the hospitals clamoring for the creation of more hospital beds. This proposal takes 9 hospital beds offline.
McCullough and other advocates are also concerned about patients' due process rights and worry that people with developmental disabilities could be wrongly placed in the proposed new facility.
So far this year, there have been more police incidents in Vermont's largest city than there were during the same time last year. That's according to a report from Burlington's acting police chief. At the same time, the total number of incidents is down about 10% compared to 2018, according to the report. The amount of incidents was also higher in 2019 and 2020. There are a few types of incidents that appear to be on the rise this year. Mental health calls are up slightly, and there's been a significant uptick in overdoses. Burlington police have responded to 104 overdoses since the beginning of the year, compared to 31 at this time last year.
Vermont's unemployment rate remains at a low level, according to the State Labor Department. The unemployment rate was 2.7% in March, a decrease of a tenth of a percentage point from February. The unemployment rate has been slowly declining since last November, when it reached 3.1%. Still, unemployment is higher than it was before the pandemic. The State Labor Department says there are roughly 2 open jobs for every unemployed Vermonter. Unemployment varied around the state in March. It was lowest in Woodstock and highest in Derby.
Coming up, a conversation about class and being stuck. That's after this. What class are you? It's a question that our colleague Erica Heilman has been asking people for a series about class and cultural divides that we'll have on the show all week. In this first installment, Erica speaks with Kathleen Patrick of Derby. Here's Kathleen.
You know, I consider doctors, lawyers, you know, people who have a good income, upper class. I mean, if you can afford every year to go on a 2-week ski vacation, or you can have someone come clean your house or your pool, that's upper class.
What is your experience of upper class?
None. I mean, I've seen it on TV.
That's Kathleen Patrick. She lives in Derby, Vermont, in a subsidized apartment with 2 cats, 2 pugs, and about 400 clocks. She really likes clocks. Kathleen was working as a home health aide until COVID hit. She received COVID funding and rent assistance until she didn't, and now she's working at the deli at Price Chopper, and she's months behind on her rent, and she's facing eviction. I met Kathleen through her daughter, Katrina, who I interviewed for this class series last year. Katrina has been couch surfing for the better part of 2 years, and for the last 8 months or so, she's been sleeping on her mother's couch while she's working to save money for her own place and also trying to help her mother with her expenses. It turns out that being poor is a learning curve, and it takes a lot of time. Most any benefit from housing subsidies to healthcare requires a whole lot of complicated paperwork. Kathleen has subsidized housing and healthcare, and she receives food assistance. But she says that if she gets a job that makes a dollar more than these subsidies allow, she says she'll be poorer than she was before when she needed subsidies. It's complicated. Here's Kathleen.
I don't fit into a class. I'm not lower class because I have a place, and most of the time I can afford my bills. I'm not middle class because, again, only some of the times I can afford my bills, and I'm far from upper class. I mean, I have my own apartment, and I work a job, and a lot of people would consider me middle class, but I can't afford to be middle class. I want to work. You know, I want to be able to pay my bills, but I cannot look for a full-time job. Even if one was given to me, I can't accept it. Because if I accept a full-time job, I lose my food stamps, I lose my housing assistance. Without my Medicaid, I am on almost 20 different medications. Some of them cost a couple $1,000s for a month. If I work full-time, then I have to accept a work health care, which I would not be able to afford, the payments that would go with the medication, the doctor's visits. So I have to stay below a certain level or else I can't live.
What are you afraid of when you look ahead?
I'm facing eviction because I'm behind in my rent. And what scares me the most is being evicted because I have no funds to seek out another place. Lower class, you want to do better. You want people to see you as better. I mean, but when I have to tell people, yeah, I have a regular job, but here's my food stamp card, and they look at me, you're working, why do you need food stamps? I need food stamps because my job does not pay enough for me to afford my apartment and food and health care. It doesn't pay enough. And they'll say, well, get a better job. If I get a better job, I lose the assistance, and then I can't afford anything anyway, so I'm back to where I was before. It's like being on a merry-go-round or a roller coaster. A roller coaster's better. You get up to that high point on the hill, you're doing great, and bam, you get divorced, and you're going downhill. And you can't stop the downhill slide. You can't stop the loops where you're going through one thing after another, housing, food, and then you finally get through them and you're going up again. You're feeling great. Bam! Something else happens, like I had to have a surgery, you know, which I hadn't expected. And there went any funds that I had. I had to take time off from work, so I lost that income. I needed more financial programs. And again, it's downhill, more paperwork. And I can look 10 years down the road and I see myself still stuck here. I don't see that happy ending, that house, that wonderful new husband, that picket fence, that 9-to-5 job in the office that I can be proud of. I don't see it anymore. I'm 53 years old, and I'm stuck in a system that is determined not to help me get out of the system.
This is Vermont Public. I'm Erica Heilman.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Liam Elder Connors, Abigail Giles, and Peter Hirschfeld.
Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Elodie Reed. Talk to you tomorrow.